Where is everybody?
Yeah. Was that a false alarm?
It was not. If you can please take your seats, we're calling this meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature to order. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I think I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Roll call of members.
Wow.
Mr. Proto?
Here.
Mr. Randall has asked to be excused. Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Present.
Mr. Sigler will be arriving late this evening. Mr. Stevenson?
Present.
Ms. Chalk?
She's here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Mr. Hattery?
Here.
Ms. Herrera has asked to be excused. Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Mr. Klinkelair has asked to be excused. Ms. Nakasi?
Present.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
10 members present.
Oh, man. I thought we'd have to adjourn to a party because we didn't have enough. Petitions, communications, and notices?
Communications are on the desks.
I would like to, I have a couple of proclamations I need to read. Instead of doing it on the chair's report, I'm going to do it at this point under petitions and communications. I want to offer this. He's not in the room. I'll hold this one. And actually, it is my pleasure this afternoon to read this particular proclamation and to offer it up. As someone who not only is vice chair of this legislature, but also serves as chair of the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, I'm always thrilled when people are doing things to continue to promote diversity and inclusion in our county. And so it gives special meaning to me to be able to make this proclamation. So I'm going to ask at the end that you cheer loudly, stomp and whoop and holler. That'll be your only opportunity for about a minute, then it's done. I'm also going to invite up here, I see both Dave Richardson and Charity to join me in presenting this proclamation. The proclamation reads, whereas Gerald Jerry Stern first began employment with Tompkins County's Highway Department on December 10, 1990, and whereas Jerry has served continuously in the title of Highway Technician since January 31, 1993, and whereas Jerry has become certified by the American Traffic Safety Services Association as Worksite Traffic Control Supervisor, and whereas Jerry has been an active and essential member of the Skilled Trades Diversity Council since 2005, has been influential in implementing the county's involvement in the Central New York Careers and Construction Day, and has been instrumental in the development and implementation of the pre-construction preparedness program, including providing flagger safety training and arranging a field trip to the Tompkins County Facility Services for participants. And whereas Jerry is known by many for his genuine and kind nature and for being an individual who shares his knowledge and expertise by helping others not only in times of need, but continuously throughout the year. And whereas, in addition to Jerry's skills as a highway technician and worksite traffic control supervisor, he is known to continually set an example of an individual with understanding and support of diversity and inclusion, both on and off the job. And whereas the Tompkins County Legislature expresses its sincere appreciation and gratitude to Jerry for his service and recognizes his generosity and compassion towards all others. Now, therefore, I, Leslyn McBean Claiborne, Vice Chair of the Tompkins County Legislature, do hereby proclaim Tuesday, May 6, 2008, as Jerry Stern Day in Tompkins County. In honor of his commitment to diversity, his selfless acts of kindness, and his strong encouragement of others as they attempt to better their lives. Jerry, I know this is a surprise to you. I was trying to keep a straight face.
Thank you so much.
We honor you. Please come up. Everybody, give me a big hug. And we brought the family here, Jared.
You know about this game.
Look who else is back there. There are others. Dave and Sherry, I do want to ask you to help present this to Jerry on behalf of the Tompkins County Legislature. You know what? I'll come around.
All right. Okay.
If I can squeeze through here. We really do honor you, Jerry. Thank you,
thank you very
so,
much. Thank you so much.
Very much.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you. Wow. That's beautiful.
There's more.
Thank you.
We also wanted to honor you. And first of all, I always told you we were going to make the Careers in Construction the Jerry Stern Show. This is an outstanding service award, and we are presenting it to Jerry from the Skilled Trades Diversity Council. Outstanding service award for Jerry Stern from the Skilled Trades Diversity Council. Jerry joined us about 4 years ago, and he has been dedicated to our diversity initiatives. And for those of you who don't know us, our goal is to increase the number of women and minorities in the construction trades here in Central New York. And we do that through our Careers in Construction Day, which Jerry has taken Tompkins County's involvement from, I think, a pickup truck or a dump truck and a trailer to taking up the entire center section of our Careers in Construction. 11 tables,
12
this year, and he has included has gotten all the facility services involved, and so he has brought the exposure of Tompkins County to 500 plus students every year. He is also instrumental, as it mentioned in the proclamation, in getting our pre-construction program up and running. It's an adult program. And he does teach our acts of flagging to our students. They are nationally certified when they leave our program in flagging and traffic safety. And he has also helped increase that this year by taking our students over to the facility services and showing them around and really exposing them to the opportunities at Tompkins County. So he's done a wonderful job, and we're very grateful to have him.
Thank you so much.
This is for you.
Paparazzi, this is your moment.
Thank you, everybody, so much. Really appreciate it.
Surprise.
Great. Yeah, it was a surprise. I was coming here to talk about permits.
We're good at it, aren't we, Jerry? Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Oh, it's time for the paparazzi. We will move on to privilege of the floor for the public. Is there anybody? I didn't get any blue cards for anybody who wanted to speak, but feel free to. Please remember that we have a 3-minute limit. Please state your name and where you're from.
Hello, I'm Brian Zaff, and I'm here from the Alternatives Federal Credit Union. And I'm here for two reasons. First and foremost, to thank the county legislature for its support of our program and the free taxes. This year, today being tax day, I can't give you a report on all that we've done, but I do know that we will have done more returns this year than we've ever done before. And I will want to thank the county and the agencies that have provided volunteers to us and also given referrals. I do know that we had a ton of really quality volunteers to do the work for us, and I really appreciate all the effort that has been done. As I said, you know, the numbers aren't in yet because we're still doing them. But today is tax day, and the second reason that I was here is I wanted to talk a little bit about the economic stimulus payments in that the Congress passed in rather haste. There's been a fair amount of conflicting information out there. And what I really wanted to talk about today was, being tax day, some people who don't usually file returns should have filed the return for this year, for 2007 tax year. But the good news is, even if you didn't file it yet, we do have until October 15th to actually file that return and get the economic stimulus payment. Obviously, you won't get it in May if you haven't filed your return yet. So there's some quirks in terms of what it is that's qualifying income. The basic news is, if you have $3,000 in income, that qualifies, that would be earned income or Social Security disability or veterans benefits, then you should file a return and you will get a stimulus payment for this year. The news, as I said, is that you do have to file a return in order to get it. Many people in those situations who are, you know, who are retired and wouldn't normally have to file a return because their Social Security benefits aren't normally taxable, will have to file a return, but we do have until October 15th to do it. And so we will be still working at the free tax clinic to help those people. And that's it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Could you, before you step away, could you please state your name again for
sure,
us?
Sure. It's Brian Zaff.
Thank you, Brian.
Leslie? Yes. Brian, could you tell a phone number if anybody has any questions at all?
Yes, if anyone has any questions at all, they can call me directly, and the number would be 216-3459.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Is there any other members of the public who would like to address the legislature? All right, we'll move to purge the floor for legislators, and I'd like to invite Legislator Robertson to be the first to get the privilege of the floor.
Thank you. And there's no three-minute limit, right?
Okay. I'm working on it.
I want to bring Will Hine up here. It's my pleasure today to make the Distinguished Youth Award. And I wanted to read from the nomination letter for Will Hine. First, I want to shake his hand. Hi. Will Hine has been nominated for the Distinguished Youth Award by three members of the Varna Volunteer Fire Company: Wendy Hoos, Board Chair, Roy Rizzo, Fire Chief, and David Makar, Fire Member, Company Member, and Deputy Supervisor, Town of Dryden. Will is an outstanding 19-year-old Dryden resident who joined the Varna Volunteer Fire Company in 2006. Since joining, he's qualified to become an active firefighter and sustaining member, fire police member, and a driver-operator of two of the VVC FC vehicles. He's completed the New York State fire classes for scene support operations, fire police, and apparatus operator, and is in the process of becoming an emergency medical technician also. Will has never complained about all the training necessary to become a volunteer fire member. He just did it all and did it well. During 2007, Will responded to 58% of Varna's calls. That's 195 calls in the year. And he was the second highest responder. On one call last year, he helped to restore the heartbeat of a young child. The Varna Company membership greatly values the work Will has done for the company and the community. And last year, they elected Will to finish out a term as captain of the light rescue vehicle. He currently is captain of the heavy rescue vehicle and a company board member. In addition, Will spends a lot of time maintaining the truck he's responsible for, the heavy rescue truck. Recently, Will also joined the department's IT committee, and this is the part I like the best in the nomination. His insight into implementing new technology has been called the Will Hine test, because he will have to actually use the technology in the field. Will is able to make sure that it will really work before the IT committee makes a recommendation to the department. In his free time, Will Hine is also a member of the Dryden Ambulance Company, where he donates a night a week serving the whole town of Dryden. It's hard to believe that Will is only 19. We think the county should be proud of someone who gives this much to volunteering, and we believe that he could go far in serving the people around him throughout his life. We proudly nominate Will Hine for the Tompkins County Distinguished Youth Award for all his volunteer service and commitment to excellence. Youth Award in recognition of your outstanding commitment to your community, April 2008, sponsored by Bangs. Gotta make sure the sponsors go on the microphone. Bangs Ambulance Service, Tompkins County Legislature, Cayuga Radio Group, Purity Ice Cream, and A&B Awards and Engraving. With that, and some goodies. In case you need a hat, there are gift certificates, security, everybody needs that, T-shirt, and a variety of things that we hope you will enjoy around the fire company. So,
thank you.
Again, thank you very much.
That is a fabulous choice for a Distinguished Youth Award. Congratulations. Continue with privilege of the floor for and to Will's family. I know you are behind supporting him. Thank you. Privilege of the floor for legislators. Pam?
I just wanted to remind folks that this Thursday, day after tomorrow, there'll be a meeting of the Upstate Garbage Truck Group at the town hall at 1 o'clock. Barbara Lifton will also be there, and there'll be some people from the DOT to talk about the pending legislation in the state legislature. And so, it's a chance for local people who don't get to go to the meetings up in Skaneateles to come and hear and find out what's going on.
In which town hall?
Town of Ithaca.
Thank you, Pam.
Could have been in Caroline.
I'm sorry.
Been
Carol?
Thank you, Frank.
I have two items. In honor of Tax Day, I have a visual that I wanted to bring out. This is last time I highlighted the state budget and the some factors about the state budget, the federal budget. This is a chart. I don't know if you can, which camera? Can you do this back behind me? This is the federal budget. I'll turn it around for a second so people can see it. This is the discretionary budget on federal level as of a couple of years ago, but the proportions generally hold true. This is the amount that is that Congress gets to allocate after paying mandatory expenses like interest on the national debt and Social Security, things that they have some discretion over. And this is generally how it is allocated. And basically, the 50% that's in red above the line here it goes towards the Pentagon, and everybody else, education, world hunger, transportation, health services, et cetera, agriculture, foreign affairs, science and energy, and administrative housing, has to share the rest. The dashed line, representing maybe a sixth of that Pentagon budget, is the amount that former generals and admirals have said is probably could fairly easily be trimmed, which would be enough to fund two or three of the other segments. This was put out by True Majority. If you want to see more about this, you can go to truemajority.org. And the things on the bottom represent the priorities that about, I think it's up to 89% in recent surveys that people think that the federal budget ought to go to. And the relevance to us is that we're heading to our own budget process. I think just we should bear in mind that the $16,000 that we're each family is spending on the war in Iraq alone, while we argue and have to grapple with the $10,000, we're going to allot to libraries and bridges and all of the other important things that we need to do on a local level, the difference that that could have made. I wanted to highlight TC3 in this journey I've been making of departments and organizations and agencies that that are funding on the best case, worst case, good upside of the things that we do. I went out and visited Carl Haynes, and several of the deans were kind enough to give me some time at TC3. Talking about their priorities, the things that they do, and just I was so impressed with the incredible job that they are doing to bring higher education at many levels and in many programs to both Tompkins and Cortland counties in a way that really spans local and international, that brings our local population so many incredible programs. The building, the new building, we should do a field trip. Anybody who hasn't gone out to see the building and what they have done in really adaptive reuse of the former athletic space in the midst of the college, turning it into library and education center and classrooms and offices, should go see what a beautiful job they've done. And when I asked about lifelong learning, which is something that I really believe in, lifelong learning and education, that it doesn't stop at the doors of college or community college, that it's something we need to build in and move back and forth throughout our lives into and out of and work into our lives. He told me about a student that they have now at TC3, a former professor at Cornell, has applied and gotten in. They weren't sure if they were going to admit him. He was in the biological sciences, and he's going back to get a nursing degree. Maybe there's an award for that.
But thank you, Carol.
Thank you, and thank you to Carl for his tour.
Thank you. Any other? Frank?
Thank you, Lesson. I want to draw your attention to the seating arrangement this evening. It appears that Martha and I are in a position to take on the rest of you. just thought I'd say that. Right?
Thank you.
You bet. The couple of items that I know you're always interested in, the status of the NYSEG escapade. In case you missed it in the paper a day or so ago, Iberdrola is rethinking whether they want to continue with their purchase of Energy East. And the statement was that there were quite a few issues that the Public Service Commission had raised, and they were rethinking their interest in the purchase. It doesn't mean that they may not purchase it, but I'd like to think that some of the items that we raised, and certainly the one that I was concerned about pertaining to the help and reinstating the number of personnel that they've lost over the years. I hope they took that to heart. But that was my Jim Dennis reminder, because I know Jim is up on NYSEG. Another consumer alert. You know that I've been on a toot for about 5 years on the Universal Fund charge, and we continue to explore that to see if we can get some reimbursement. We met with the hospital folks and drew it to their attention with John Rudd, who's the Vice President of Finance at Cuba Medical Center. But I have a new one for you. In case you've missed it, there's been a lot of hype about the switchover next February regarding the high-definition TVs and what you will or will not be able to get via cable or satellite or whatever. The cable company is saying don't worry, because it's a cable feed. In most cases, you will not need a high-definition TV. because we'll be able to service the standard analog systems, and yet the satellite people are saying the cable people are lying. There is a website that Karen is going to provide to any one of you that would like it, and because constituents are going to start worrying about it. I'm glad Lisa is here tonight. I'm sorry to single you out. It's a positive thing. But my worry is many of the individuals who are homebound or perhaps enjoy watching TV are probably over 55 or 60 years old. And I think David Stoyel has started an outreach program to help them identify what options they may have with regard to the high-definition TV and with that changeover. At any rate, this is an issue that we have until February of next year to see that there's some clarification. One of the concerns is that in order to continue using your analog TV or seniors, anyone using an analog TV, you have to purchase one of these converter boxes. We think that most of the Time Warner system is already set up, but we need clarification. We need some verification. We don't need the rug pulled out from under us on February 8th when this is about to switch over. The website contains a method by which you can apply for a coupon to get reimbursed for some of that purchase. And I think that we ought to do some promotional outreach, and you may be already doing it, Lisa, I don't know. But I think it would be wise to keep reminding the public that they can't just blow this off and wait until January to start worrying about it. And we do need some reassurance by NYSEG. That's my consumer minute. Karen and I are going to put something together to at least circulate, because I think there's going to be a lot of more interest in it. At some point, Madam Chair or Vice Chair, I would like to ask of whomever you think is the appropriate person for an update on the County Administrator Search Committee's status. And my last item, a name that some of you will remember, a gentleman by the name of Mike Huckabee is at Cornell this evening. He's about to start his presentation. Some of us were invited to a reception earlier this afternoon, and it was really decent to be up there on campus. And he sends his regards. I invited him to the county legislative meeting to sit in. And he said, I think I'll pass. He said, I've had enough of controversy for a while. He says, I'm going to get a dose of it at 6 o'clock tonight on the Cornell campus. But anyway, it's nice to be able to meet some of the people that you only see from the other side of the TV every once in a while. Very decent person. But thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
You bet.
Martha?
Thank you. A couple of things. Quickly, on 9 o'clock tonight, anybody who's actually watching us now, PBS Public Television is having a series, a show called on Frontline about healthcare in five or six other countries around the world, and like how they do it, and remarkably how they spend a fraction of what we do and cover everybody and things like that. So there's been a bit of publicity on that on public radio. So I'm hoping my husband tapes it for me. So anyway, 9 o'clock tonight on Channel 4 or 6. Legislators, I think everybody got a report from Catholic Charities recently about the security deposit program. Did everybody get one? I just wanted to highlight this is a report from Catholic Charities about their services in the past year and included a report about the $20,000 that we provided in sort of emergency security deposit aid for people with very low incomes. They served between May and October of 07 when their CDBG funding ran out. They served 41 families. 29 of those were considered very low income. That's incomes below 30% of the county median. And that's pretty low, but mostly working families. One example, a young single mother of three children was living in a vermin-infested house with a leaking roof. The house had been condemned, and Mary was desperate to find safe, affordable housing for her family. She'd been issued a Section 8 voucher, but was barely able to afford the necessities for her family. With $500 in security deposit funds from the county funding, Mary secured a safe, clean, three-bedroom apartment. And then in all their emergency services in 2007 increased by 18% over 2006, with a total of 800 households. So, and that was in 2007, before we were in the economic downturn that we are now. So some people out there are really hurting. But there is a little good news. I was given this article today from New York Times from in November about the subprime landscape, about kind of how it looks in different areas around the country, the subprime sort of meltdown. The title is The Subprime, from the New York Times, Sunday, November 4th, The Subprime Landscape from Detroit to Ithaca. And it seems of all the cities and towns in the country that they surveyed, Ithaca had the lowest percent of foreclosures of any of the cities that they looked at, and college towns in particular did quite well. And the person who gave me this article said that they had, it really was a function of responsible local lending and people really not trying to take advantage of a situation. So I'll make a copy of this for everybody. I thought that was kind of interesting.
I think the banks are very appreciative of that. I'd like to reveal that I worked for one of the banks.
Jim?
Yes. Thank you. I was listening to the radio the other day, and I heard a report about the drop-in center, and there are hundreds of resolutions passed at the county legislature throughout the many, many years, and people will say some are good, some are not so good, some don't make any difference at all. Apparently, that one made a difference, and that group, with the help of county staff, has been able to right their ship somewhat and move ahead. So it was really good to hear that something we all did made a difference to a group in the community.
Thank you, Jim. Anyone else? Dooley.
Carol, I want to thank you for your visual aid. That's a great great circle pie. I read the Center for Defense Information's newsletter, and the most recent one was trying to arrive at a figure that we actually, as a country, spend on military items. And there is so much that's not shown in the Pentagon share of the budget. It is in other parts of the budget, too. So I think that that's the best case analysis you're showing. It's even worse than that. And I'll give you a copy of that part of the newsletter. I wanted to just tell my colleagues on the legislature that I'm going to be putting a piece of paper in their mailboxes, and it's from the League of Women Voters of Tompkins County's bulletin. It states the National League's consensus position on immigration. It's a very complicated subject. Our local league had a hardworking committee that participated in the national study, and it was fascinating to me to wrestle with all this, and I think you'll find the consensus statement worth reading and thinking about. It takes a good look at everything. So I'm not going to try to summarize it, but I wanted to alert you that that's what it is, and it's coming from me. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Anyone else? All right. Do we have a report from a municipal official? Anyone here to give us any updates now? All right. Moving on, no special presentation, so I'll go directly to the chair's report. And the first thing I want to do is recognize, offer a certificate of recognition and appreciation being awarded to our county attorney, Jonathan Wood, in recognition of 15 years of outstanding service to Tompkins County. So, Jonathan, thank you for continuing to work with and for us. And we wanted to give you a certificate of appreciation. Oh.
Don't ask for a raise, though, John.
Cheer and crowd to me. The other thing I wanted to offer in my report, it is certainly no secret what is going on with the Ithaca City School District and the most recent order of judgment coming from New York City Division of Human Rights or the administrative law judge. Although it's not a final done issue, it certainly raises questions and eyebrows, because for us as taxpayers, that comes out of our pockets if that kind of payment needs to be made. However, it's not even so much the money as it is a wake-up call that we just can't keep doing business the way we're doing business and treating people in any old way, shape, and form, and not expecting to be penalized or expected to have consequences. My hope is that with judgments or even awards like this, not the monetary part, but the other aspects of it, that people begin to really recognize that folks are humans, and it is time that we work to be more inclusive. A lot of people talk so much about diversity, but diversity is nothing if we're not being inclusive. And so it's very important, basic common sense things that one can do to just recognize the strength and inclusion so we don't end up in positions like these. An entire community suffers when people do not respond or make decisions that are ill-informed or decisions that just fly in the face of logic sometimes. A young lady, if any of you had the opportunity to be at the hearings, a young lady really suffered in our community, and it's something that we should not accept, tolerate, or allow to happen in any way in our community. And this is an education for all of us to be aware, to be cognizant of the things that we're doing, the things we're doing to be exclusive, and celebrate the things we're doing to be inclusive and do more of those. So I wanted to bring that to light. There are more cases. The paper has reported on more cases against the school district, and I'm hoping that something will change. I'm optimistic that change will happen, and it's a commitment that has to come from all of us, not just the administration of the school district, but from all of us to help make that change come about, because this is our community. Frank, you asked about an update on the county administrator search. I wanted to ask, we have some information. When we met last, we talked about asking personnel to go back and do some work around what a draft work around what us as a legislator want to do in terms of an offer or package. And so I want us to have an executive session at the end to talk some more about that and perhaps see what decisions we can arrive at around what we're looking for a county administrator. In that, along that line also, I just want to give a quick update that Michael Kaplinko, the chair of this legislature, and I have been talking with personnel and others about the continued search for a county administrator. Steve, you might want to roll up your sleeves and hang in for a little bit more. And at this point, I don't know if you all got the email from Mike saying the search will continue, and Mike Kaplinko-Lair will chair the search with assistance from myself and personnel. So that is where we are at this point. The expectation, we have some materials that you will get at executive session that basically talks a lot of more confidential details on some of the things that need to happen. And so we'll have some materials to talk about as well. Yes, Frank.
Listen, did I hear you right? Mike Kaplinko-Lair is going to chair the committee?
That's correct.
Is it too soon to know what the configuration? We had a committee that had mm-hmm. been selected. Is that committee going to stay together with the exception of, I'm surprised that Jim Dennis is not going to continue to chair it. Mm-hmm. But is that committee going to stay together with that change?
There will be some changes to that committee. The committee will be a little bit smaller. It was a 15-member committee in the past. It will be more of a 10-member committee. Mike had suggested a 9-member committee. I had a chance to talk to him this afternoon and say that does not cut it. And so we're looking at perhaps a 10-member committee, so there will not be as many members on the committee as there were last time around.
Well, do you know?
But he has reached out to some individuals in that committee to see if people are interested in continuing with the search.
Is it too soon to know whether it's 9 or 10?
Will be 10 members.
Is it too soon to know if all 10 of them will be voting members?
All 10 who will be voting members.
I'm just a little caught off guard.
No, go ahead.
Are we going? Is the reason for the executive session to talk about the makeup of what you want to include in the search, or I don't know what questions we can ask without knowing what the executive session's purpose is. I don't know what questions we can ask out loud.
And why don't you ask questions, and I will suggest the executive session is pretty much to look at the makeup of the package that the county legislature wants to set out there as we do recruitment and advertising for this position.
Okay, so that could affect negotiations and whatnot. Okay, so that's the exact. As far as the makeup of the committee is concerned, when will we have an opportunity to know who's going to be on the committee? What's the timeline for the search? Are we going to open it up all over again? Are we going to go back to any of the people that had expressed an interest but didn't make the cut?
I think those are decisions that the committee will make, but certainly input from the legislature is valued in whether we are going to open up the search again, because we have to.
Yeah, we have to.
We have to. That's basic information. What I got from Mike and what some of you got is that the makeup of the committee in general terms will be 5 legislators, 3 department heads / staff of the county, and 2 community members. 2 community representatives.
Timeline. Do you have any feel for that? I'm thinking of Steve. Every time we look at Steve, it's extended for another 12 minutes. So
the personnel department, like it's the last time, has sort of put together a rough timeline for us. And so that's information that we will also share with you. So you'll get a packet like this. I think Kathy has them, with the information on the draft timeline and something that you can respond to.
Is the only place that exists online, or will we get hard copies?
No, you will get a hard copy tonight.
Thank you.
Martha.
Thanks.
The makeup of the committee, is that final yet?
It is not. I would not say that it is final, but that's the decision that was made by the chair in consultation with myself and the personnel department.
Okay, the names are not published.
No, there are no names.
You don't have names?
There are no names attached to that. Right. Just the configuration, but no names. Any other questions on that? Okay. That's my report, and I'm sticking to it. Are there any resolutions to be added or withdrawn from the agenda? Dooley.
I'd like to add a resolution J. I don't know if everyone has a copy of it.
Skip right over here.
Requesting continuation of federal aid for Tompkins County highway projects.
Second.
Okay, seconded by Frank. Moved by Dooley, seconded by Frank. All those in favor? Adding to the agenda?
Aye.
Any oppositions? Let me just back up my chair's report and say no 3 of you is allowed to leave the room at any one time, because we'll be without a quorum. So take turns.
Not only that, if my count is right, in order to add or anything to the agenda, we need 10 members here.
And I thought we had 10.
Yeah, there are 10 counting you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only reason why we're there. So, yes, there are 10 of us. Otherwise, I would not. Report from County Administrator.
Yeah, I feel like I was invited to a board meeting, but nobody told me there was a vacation going on. So
you can sit with us.
Tell me about
Steve,
it.
You can sit with us.
Yeah. Got some pleasant news. I gave you all a copy of what we got from the Office of Technology. Something I've been talking about for, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years or something like that. And this is a as far as the state can go at this point in saying that they really are planning to negotiate with Tompkins County regarding using our infrastructure for their communication system.
All right.
I think this is going to be very significant, and I know they're very serious. They're going through their final acceptance testing plan and program right now as we speak. They should be done in a week or so. After that, there has to be some verification and some confirmation. But then the statewide wireless network should be moving ahead. And they have recognized that Tompkins County and Onondaga County made some decisions quite a while ago that put those two counties in very good stead. And basically, the director is saying, Tompkins County did this right, and we can't wait to join up with you, and we're all pretty positive at this point that this will move ahead. And looking ahead at the 2009 budget, remember this piece of paper, because it may be the thing that you look back and say, oh, thank God. Okay. End of my report.
Thank you, Steve Marcus.
It's a new one.
Yes.
What did you say, Dooley?
This is the higher level. This is the Office of Technology. The Statewide Wireless Network reports to the Office of Technology.
All right, we go to the big dogs.
Yeah,
I'm just skimming it. I don't see a number.
I said that we were going to negotiate.
Going to negotiate. Okay. Is this going to satisfy Dick Booth?
The county has put forward a request for $750,000 a year or $10 million. So that's the kind of number we're talking about.
Okay.
Now, where that ends up, we'll see. But Jonathan's going to negotiate, so we expect more than that.
Go, Jonathan. No pressure.
One quick thing. I've met with a few committees to talk about the Board of Elections and the need to have some space for housing the machines that the Board of Elections is acquiring. It's about $1 million purchase, and we can't take the chance of putting them in the old library for any extended period of time because we've been having some roof problems. And I don't think it's responsible for us to take $1 million worth of equipment and let it get wet. So what we have been doing is looking around the city to find suitable places that we could rent. The bottom line is that it looks like it was going to cost between $25,000 and $40,000 a year. When we looked at that pricing, we said, this is silly. It's a lot smarter in the long run for the county to build a light construction building out at Bostwick Road. And when we finally get to the age that most of the world is at, where you can vote by mail or vote by email, then that building can be used by facilities for storage. So that's the avenue I'm pursuing at this point. So far, I've been getting nods of heads from the committees. We'll be bringing resolutions forward to the appropriate committees next month.
Thank you, Steve. Jonathan?
I do not have a report.
Thank you. David?
I just wanted to report that you'll be hearing some probably headlines about sales tax. And I don't really have any detailed information for you, but the county has experienced some unusual growth in sales tax distributions from New York State. I find it hard to believe it's a result of economic activity, but it is a significant increase over what we got last year for the first quarter. And I'll know a little more in about 10 days when we get the quarterly report information from New York State, but I just know that it's been extraordinarily large increase of this last payment for the quarter. And I hear we got some email from other counties that were experiencing the same thing.
Is it gasoline sales tax?
And utilities, heating, electric, and natural gas. I mean,
it's hard.
All right, I'm not going to get too excited. So you never know when you turn around and see if we made a mistake. Thank you, David.
Leslie?
Yes, Carol?
Can I ask a question? Do we have, at what point, I might need Steve on this one, I'm not sure. At what point can we expect to get any kind of analysis
of the impact of the state budget as it was passed on our local budget.
Nate will be reporting out on that.
Yeah, sorry,
his report.
Okay.
And we can fill in any details if you like.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Consent agenda. Resolutions that can be voted on as a group unless any member of the legislature requests that a resolution or appointment be instead pulled off of it. I will read just the titles. Consent agenda. Resolution A. Resolution B. Award of RideWise proposals to Colonel Cooperative Extension of Tompkins County Incorporated. Resolution C. Authorizing community solutions for transportation contract with New York State Department of Transportation. Resolution D. In support of the Council of Governments review of health benefits for New York State Shared Municipal Services Program. And that was pending committee action. Resolution E, Budget Adjustment Board of Elections. And appointments to the Water Resources Council, Rick Manning and Patrick Barry. Planning Advisory Board, Peter Penniman and Scott Withiam. Environmental Management Council, Lisa A. Scholar.
Leslie, excuse me. I'd like to cancel my request for Resolution A to have come off.
Okay, duly canceled. So it's not off of consent agenda. Can I have a motion?
Wait, question? One quick question. Planning Advisory Board appointment. Is Scott's name Withiam or Withiam?
Withiam.
Withiam. I think it's Withiam, actually.
I think it's Withiam without the second I.
Yeah.
And pronounce Withiam.
Okay, we will correct it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You bet.
We'll have it corrected. A motion to accept consent agenda, Pam. Seconded by Martha. All in favor?
Aye.
Nobody opposes. Thank you very much. Thanks for the correction, Frank. Moving on to standing committee reports. Budget and Capital, Nathan Shinagawa, Chair.
Yes. Sorry, I was just consulting with David about some more additional numbers. Basically, I'm going to report a little bit about the state budget and other budget challenges that are going to be facing us. As you know, we have a retreat on April 29th, 6 o'clock, I believe, to discuss the county budget for next year, which will be passing this year. And keep in mind that there's a lot of fixed costs that are going to go up that we don't have control over. I mean, and that would be negotiated salary increases and also capital expenditures that we've committed ourselves to. So, you know, already you're going to see an increase in the budget because of that. However, we have additional challenges due to the state and also to changes in the economy. The first thing is that we have what happened is that in this budget, there was a 2% across-the-board reduction with the exemption of Medicaid, pre-K, and entitlement programs. But there was a 2% across-the-board cut effective April 1st for this year. So that affects us, and that will carry on to our next budget. So that's from April 1st to December. Then what's happening is that there's an additional 2% for 2009 and then for 2010. So overall, we're looking at possible reductions of around $700,000 in state aid. And that $700,000, it could be more, it could be less, because those across-the-board cuts were to a lot of the agencies overall. We don't know how it's going to be allocated specifically to Tompkins County. And so it could actually be a larger number than that, and so we need to be wary of that. We also have mandate costs that are going to be increasing to the tune of about $840,000. So already you're seeing that the state budget is affecting the county in a negative way by approximately $1.5 million. And so we are going to be going into a budget year with that challenge before us. I was just speaking to David and about changes in interest rates, and basically due to changes in interest rates going down, our interest earnings are going to go down, and that will affect us to the tune of around $400,000. And so Already there, I've said a lot of large numbers, and that's just to act as a warning as we go into budget that this will be an incredibly difficult budget year, and we have a lot of work before us. Is there any questions? Martha.
Go ahead, Martha.
You said mandate cost increase.
Yes.
I'm actually a little confused. The news I thought I heard was that 2% cut was not happening.
Right. Well, there's a lot of 2% cuts. There's exemptions. I mean, some things were exempt. Did not have the 2% cut, and I mentioned those as, you know, the Medicaid pre-K entitlement programs. But there is, for example, a 1% shift responsibilities to the county for public assistance.
Is it 1%? Okay.
Yeah. And but still, overall, there's about, I believe, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, almost a dozen and a half or more departments that are affected by that 2% across-the-board reduction, even with those exceptions. And then the $840,000 mandates, there's a 13.8% increase in public health mandates and a 4% increase in social services mandates. And so those are two separate things. So there's the state reductions, and then there's also increases to mandates.
But do you mean that what's required is increased, or our share of what's required is increased? In other words, a mandate being, let's say somebody's mandated to get $100 a month for housing.
Right.
Are they saying they should get $150, or are they just saying counties, you have to pay more of that $100?
Right. I'm not actually sure about the specifics.
Okay.
Those growths are primarily due to expansion of programs or growth of programs. So it's additional money is being spent on the programs, and our total dollar expenditures are increasing.
Expansion of programs meaning more people. I'm sorry to be pushy on this, but more people.
More coverage or more people or both?
Those are two different things. So school districts and cities might really feel great right now.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody listening,
right. Yeah.
Your school tax and city tax might go down. Your county tax is going to cover that.
Exactly.
Municipalities too.
All right. That's it, Martha?
Yeah.
No, it's
that's
great.
That's all for not.
Okay. Carol and then Frank.
What was the 2% restored? There was a lot of press that the state got after it finished the budget about the fact that they had restored.
That was education
the expected 2% cut.
Yeah, that was education. Also, there was a lot of smaller programs that got money restored. Like, for example, there was an HIV/AIDS program that the governor had suggested 2% cut to, and they restored, you know, most of that, and things like that. So, I mean, there was a lot of little restorations.
There was a lot of concern about a proposed 2% shift in the share of the DSS programs, and that was what was rescinded. So that was a big number, mm-hmm. and they did back away from that, so that was good.
But they still shifted at 1%, right?
No, that was to the...
that was a different...
Public assistance.
TANF.
Yeah,
the TANF one.
Yeah.
Okay.
It gets complicated, but it's sort of like... They proposed a whole bunch of things that would have been absolutely devastating. In fact, I don't even know how we could have possibly absorbed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they took a good part of it back and said, aren't we nice? So they only hit us with a small hammer instead of a big hammer.
Leslin, Nathan, we have a budget retreat coming up.
Yes.
In 2 weeks.
2 weeks from now, yeah.
Are we going to have crypt sheet of what these actual numbers,
yes,
as much as we know at that point,
yes.
What the numbers are.
All that information will be provided. We got a preview of it at our budget meeting yesterday, and there's going to be more added to it. We'll also be, Norma and Steve will also be presenting budget scenarios, looking at different numbers and how they would affect the budget.
Will any of the same information, the information is not confidential, so the departments and the department heads certainly have access to it. Will we at that point in time have some reaction from the department heads as to how the potential budget might affect their operations?
Yeah. Steve?
When I met with the department heads, I asked them to do what they could do to try to ferret out what the actual impact was on their departments, and they're going to do the very best. The problem is that the way the state budget works is the legislature passes the budget, then it has to be signed, you know, then there are stacks of bills, basically, and then the governor has to sign those bills. Then those bills are moved over to the budget office, who then divvies them out among the budget officers, who then talk to the departments. And sometimes the departments don't really know what their spending authority is until June or July, which is really, really late. And the scariest part is that we know what the legislature has intended to do in passing money or passing bills, basically, or cost the programs to the counties. What we don't know yet are what steps the departments at the state level are going to feel are necessary for them to do to protect their own programs. In other words, if you're a state department, you're going to protect your staff and your programs because that's where you have a huge investment, and you're going to transfer any kind of burden to somebody else if you can possibly do it. So it's those secondary shifts that we can't predict, we don't know what they are, and sometimes they can be really, really large.
And we may not know those until, what, June or July, Steve?
Right, right. Yeah.
Well, one last shot there. The concern that I think some of us should have, and I think Steve's on the right track here, while education received, because of a very successful lobbying effort from the teachers' union, while education received such a huge increase, going for the hiring of additional, as you probably read in the paper too, the hiring of additional teachers in order to reduce the class size, those increases only carry forward for 1 year. So the concern should be what happens the second year. And you know that even though we're very public about having people come and talk to us and the towns do the same thing, Will can probably indicate that people are not shy about coming to the town of Ithaca. The school district is the killer. And often at those meetings, the public doesn't have the ammunition to talk, and that's the one that really hurts. So I don't know if there's any way. The one that I'm particularly concerned about, Nathan, is the preschool handicapped children's program, because that does slop over to the school districts, and it does involve the Racker Center. So even though they've withdrawn their the second pass at the budget had them passing on the cost to the counties, I think I heard you say, and I think I understand it the same way, that they rescinded that, and now they're going to pay the whole shot the way they originally proposed they were going to pay it. I think that's right, but I'm not sure. Are you?
Wait, because I'm sorry. Say that last part again, Frank.
The portion for the pre-K handicapped children's program was going to be picked up. The increase for the schools was going to be picked up by the state. Then in the revisions, there was an article that came out, and I mentioned it to Steve about 2 weeks ago, that the state had withdrawn that and they were going to pass that added cost on to the counties. What I thought I heard you say earlier, 10 minutes ago, was that now they've even rescinded that and it's back. Let me ask you directly. Do you know who's paying for the pre-K handicapped children's program?
Yeah. Steve?
That's the largest component of the increase in mandates.
Yeah.
Essentially, nothing has changed in the early intervention programs. We are paying the same proportion that we paid last year. We're going to be paying moving forward, and that program is I believe that Norma's estimate was that it was going to increase by at least 13%. So it's a very large, very large increase.
Yeah.
And Steve, the way that program is set up, are we still now not at the table?
We're at the table. We just don't have any
voice. We don't
have
a vote, right?
Yeah. Sit and watch them spend.
13% increase?
That's the estimate. We'll be much more sophisticated later on.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Thanks, Leslie.
Thank you. Martha?
The bad news on interest income coming down could turn into some good news on refinancing capital projects. Dave's shaking his head.
No. David's already refinanced, and he did it in the last severe downturn and did an exceptional job. We are already locked out. But where it can help is when you make some decisions about the capital program, having lower interest rates in the next year or two will help. But it's a two-edged sword. When the interest rates drop, it doesn't cost us as much for money, but we don't earn as much.
Right. Thank you very much, Nathan.
Thank you.
That's what you do when you start talking about the state
there
budget, Nathan. It's all into a tailspin. If you'll indulge me, I'd like to shuffle the order just a bit because we have staff and some guests waiting for facilities and infrastructure committee report, and ask Member Dooley Kiefer to offer that report and resolutions.
I will report only on our meeting this afternoon before this meeting, where we had two resolutions, one which you nicely added to the agenda, and the other, Resolution G, authorizing Memorandum of Understanding with Lifelong regarding feasibility of joint facility, and I'd like to move that resolution.
And a second, seconded by Frank.
Does anyone have any questions? It seems pretty clear on its face.
Yeah, I have one. Lesson. Dooley, the part on the second page that's been struck, can you describe or can someone describe what the what the intent of those several paragraphs was and what the effect of taking them out will be?
You know, my packet doesn't show anything being struck, but I have a copy of a revised memorandum of understanding. It's shorter. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Yep.
I think what was struck to focus what we're voting on tonight more specifically just on a feasibility study.
Correct.
Without making any future commitments of any sort.
Correct. Thank you.
Can I ask one other question? Lisa, is that your understanding too?
Carol, do you have a question?
I was just going to say that.
Same thing.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? All those in favor? Any oppositions? No. Unanimous. Thank you very much. Thanks, Lisa.
You know, I realize for the public, I may not have made clear what this joint feasibility study is.
Go right ahead.
It's to have the County Office for the Aging and Lifelong, both of which serve similar populations, look at the possibility of having a joint public-private partnership in having a new building that they would both occupy and share. And that's what the feasibility study is to look at.
Thank you, Guru.
You're welcome. And I have another resolution, the one that was added to the agenda. Thank you. Resolution J, requesting continuation of federal aid for Tompkins County Highway projects, and I move that resolution.
Seconded by Pam.
In line with what you've been hearing about bad news for budgets, instead of the state, this is the federal government, which for the first time that any of us can remember has rescinded already granted monies for specific highway projects which are already in design or ready to be bid because they weren't started in 2007. We rolled them over into this year for many good and understandable reasons, fully expecting the federal monies would be rolled over for us to use, and instead they have rescinded those funds. So we are making an emergency appeal to all of our federal legislators to step in for us and help us fund the Warren Road reconstruction and the McLean Road Bridge over Fall Creek, Station Road Culvert over Cayuga Inlet, which are essentially ready to go, and also the funding for Hanshaw and Coddington to restore that.
Thank you. Discussion. Martha, then Frank.
Is there some sort of really active conversation with our state legislators, federal legislators?
Well, at the committee, we were told that although the first three that I mentioned were known a couple of weeks ago, we only found out about the last two road projects being cut last night. So, no, there is not yet active that I know of, but I'm sure it's going to be very soon, unless Arel may have something else to... John Lampman left.
No, Arel is the wrong person.
No. Okay,
Steve might have some information.
We have been in contact with Congressman Arcuri.
Arcuri.
I have to get used to that. And Senator Schumer's office. Mm-hmm. Both of them have reached out to Tompkins County to find out what they can do to help in various paths, and have stated in the past that they would be willing to help with anything that came up. And so we took them at their word, and we've been passing this information on as it's been coming to us. And we also said that the legislature would be passing a resolution tonight, and they should be expecting that, and that this was the highest priority as far as Tompkins County was concerned.
And how about Congressman Hinchey?
Have not reached out.
Because most of these are not in the city or town, but Hanshaw Road, Coddington, or...
Thank you, Frank.
Steve, beside the fact that there... are they taking the money back simply because it was not spent? Was there a deadline by which it had to be spent?
My understanding is that in our 10-county region, there were quite a few of these projects, and apparently across the United States, this is a policy decision that they're pulling the money back if it hasn't been spent. We've seen the same philosophy applied to workforce development, where suddenly the money disappeared. It's hard to ascribe the motive, but one can speculate that the war is costing a lot of money.
Yeah. This is not unique to Tompkins County.
No.
It is nationwide, apparently.
We, Chairs F&I, the Chair of the Legislature, Steve, Ed Marks, Highway... Bill Sesney and John Lutman. We met last week when this information came, and there's movement afoot to contact the other state and federal representatives ASAP, and I think there might have already been a letter sent to four of them just saying, please, this cannot happen. So just so you all know, we're moving in that direction.
On the good news side, we heard rumors that Cortland County was successful in getting some money restored, so... Hold your breath. I mean, we'll be successful.
Yeah. Carolyn and Martha.
Yeah, I'll ask publicly what I had asked in the meeting to give you the opportunity to respond, which was there any way in which it was us missing the ball here in not asking for an extension of this funding, or was this the common practice to have it roll over in the past? As I understand it, we didn't find out until well into 2008 that it now was expired as of the end of 2007 fiscal year. Is that correct?
That is correct. It was about a week and a half ago, and just last night that we heard about the other two. That we heard about the first four, and last night about the other two.
We did not drop
Steve.
The ball.
Right.
It has been
no.
common practice that the funding is rolled
over
for approved projects.
Just a different flavor of the same question. So there's no deadline in the authorization. It doesn't say if you don't spend it by whatever day,
no.
you'll lose it.
Well, the agency is allowed to rescind the money if the project is not started or completed within the time frame designated in the original plan. And in this case, we didn't meet those deadlines. But if you looked at the last 10 years and you looked at, you know, let's say 100% of all the projects in the United States, 99% of them are not going to get done in that planned time frame. It's just the nature of the beast.
So we were making progress. We just
didn't
put a shovel on the ground and didn't start.
And if we knew that they were going to change the practice, then certainly we would have changed the plan. I mean,
Well, there are all sorts of places where delays get introduced.
Yeah.
We have to have the designs that our consulting engineers come up with approved by the state, and sometimes those plans sit up at state level for quite a while before they come back approved. Or they come back with comments and changes are made, and it goes back and forth. So those are delays that we can't control.
Yeah.
Frank?
And I think when you're talking to our elected representatives at the higher level, they need to be reminded that, A, we have a considerable amount of money invested in the projects to bring them to this point. They have to line up in the queue. And please remind them that we've had a couple of natural disasters in between. Some of the contractors that might have been hired to do this work have been, I won't say distracted, but they have been, we had over $1 million worth of damage in the last flood in 2006 at our end of the county. And I know that Public Works had applied and received some help, and we're just one county. A lot of the outfits that do this work, there's only so many of them that have this kind of the kind of equipment to install this, and it is not all done by our own highway department. So, I mean, anyway, this is
Thank
a little
you.
Bit frustrating, to say the least.
It is, but we're going to make our best effort by, one, sending this resolution on, letters, phone calls, and everything else. And hoping that the rumor in Cortland is correct, and we will be next on the list. All right, any other questions, discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any oppositions? No. Passed unanimously. Thank you very much, Dooley, for your report. Public safety.
The committee hasn't met since our last meeting. We'll be meeting on Friday, April 18th. That's this Friday, 2 p.m. in the Hayman Conference Room. The Traffic Safety Committee will be meeting at 3:30 p.m. that date, same location. And Governor's Traffic Safety Committee representative will be present for that. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Thanks, Greg. WDIC will meet two Wednesdays from now. The Jerry Stern proclamation was part of what we had discussed in the last committee meeting, and very proud to have done that tonight. Health and Human Services, Frank.
Thank you, Madam Chair, or Vice Chair.
You can call me whatever.
I can call you Leslie. Right? We had a very active Health and Human Services Committee meeting. I just want to hit some of the highlights. Some of the items are reflected on the agenda tonight, but certainly the one for mental health is on there. The funding for the transportation group, that's part of, there's two resolutions there dealing with, one is dealing with JARC funding, which is quite nice. It's the State Department of Transportation. We've already done that one. But from a highlight standpoint, we had an update from Lisa Holmes regarding the co-location with Lifelong. You've heard some of that. We did pass the MOU this evening with regard to that. Health and Human Services, while we've opted not to have a vote on this in order to make sure this process moves along quickly, we've asked that we be kept abreast of what facilities is doing, and that seems to be moving along pretty well. You're aware, I'm sure, by now that we postponed action on the WIC program, the action on the resolution regarding the WIC program. Alice has been developing some information, some of which I was told some of it has already found its way to Steve's office for evaluation, and we're waiting for some additional information. And that should be coming back to the Health and Human Services Committee for review by the seventh meeting of the 7th of the committee, so we can weigh in on that. We've already done the resolution on the regarding fees with regard to Bob DeLuca's program, the mental health hygiene law. An item I really would like to draw your attention to is youth services. often, and this is really interesting with regard to the information Steve just gave us and Nathan just gave us, we had a presentation by Nancy Zook and by Mr. Schumacher from the Learning Web. They've been working with the Youth Housing Task Force. If you recall, they did a survey not too long ago on affordable housing for homeless youth in the community. And our committee was told by Mr. Schumacher that they received funding from the city of Ithaca, through the Urban Renewal Grant, for 5 years at $192,000 a year in order to help them locate housing, provide housing for homeless youth. It will help them with utility payments. They will help establish depository accounts so that these individuals between the age of, the legislation provides for individuals as ages 16 to 21, but Mr. Schumacher said he doubts that anybody age 16 will be in this mix. It'll probably be around 18, and in some cases they can go up to the age of 25. But everybody is quite excited about this. Another companion resolution that we already passed this evening is with regard to the JARC funding. That's the job access money and transportation. It's really, really important that whomever we help is able to get around and get to jobs, get to school, wherever it is. But it was nice to hear that they had received this $192,000 per year for 5 years. And I have one other. I'm glad to see Ken Schlather sitting in the back. Cooperative Extension received a authorization from us to move ahead with an education program regarding that JARC funding. There's an effort being made to coordinate education on alternative modes of transportation throughout the county. What's available? There's no one place right now to go to find out about how you can get from one place to another and what the options may be. Of course, we know about TCAT. We have to do some more with Gadabout. The Ithaca Car Share program is still up and running, and we need to be promoting that. And the Tompkins County Transportation, the Ithaca Tompkins County Transportation Council with Cooperative Extension are going to be putting together this outreach program. They received $156,000 in a grant, and they'll be working. Ken, I hate to be putting you on the spot like that, but we were told that you're going to do wonders with this money, and everybody will know throughout the county what transportation options are available. So I think it's wise for us to have Cooperative Extension involved. That's part of their mission, is education, and this certainly fits it. You know, I think I just gave you the wrong number. It's $129,800. The $156,000 was part of that grant that the $129,000 is coming from. Our next meeting is the 7th, and my hope is we will have the information on the WIC program to present. There'll be quite a discussion on that, I'm sure. And if any of you have extra time on your hands, you're welcome to sit in.
Thank you, Frank. You have a resolution?
I have resolution F, appropriation from contingent fund for green fleet purchases, and I'd like to move that.
Second. Martha? Discussion? Go ahead, Martha.
I think this is the inaugural expense for the green fleet, under the green fleet policy. Is that right?
That's right. The first go
Woo-hoo. At this to try to make a dent in our carbon footprint, and the committee members are going to all be vying for those cars as they come off the county fleet, because I guess only 6 years from now you'll be selling them. So anyway, it looks like a good deal.
And county legislators have first dibs? Is that what you said?
I think ex-county employees.
Not
nice
yet.
Plug, Steve.
At the rate we're going on that search, you may still be here, Steve.
Nice plug, Greg.
I'm not 100% sure that the Green Fleet budget allocation request form answers all my questions. A couple things. Does the projected annual miles driven highway add, or is it to be added with the projected annual miles driven city for a sum total?
Yes.
Okay. We should probably fix that. The other thing is, I don't understand the vehicle make and model budgeted for purchase in 2008 was a Ford Focus in both applications. The alternate vehicle is a Prius in both applications, but all the gas emissions numbers on the bottoms of the applications are all different. Can anybody explain that?
I cannot, Greg.
For example, the estimated annual greenhouse gas emissions from budgeted vehicle is 2.4 for a Prius in one application. Wouldn't it be 2.4 in the other?
Dooley and Steve have their hands up. They might have a shot at it.
I'll shut up.
Okay. Great questions. The difference is in the first part that you pointed to, the total miles. If you look, they're different.
Okay,
so that impacts the overall carbon footprint. That's why the difference. Okay.
Dooley?
Yeah, I had questions on these forms also and bothered a handful of different people trying to get answers, and it turns out that only Ed Marks has those answers because he completed the forms and he's out of town at the moment. I very much wanted to know what estimates they were using for miles per gallon, as well as the price of the gasoline that's factored into these computations. So we're going to be voting on this without all our questions answered, but the basic principle seems good. So
we're buying green food. I saw Jim and then you, Frank.
I'll get you. Thank you. Maybe one is the GT model, and that could provide for that. I'm going to support this. I think it's a good idea to go this route, and I think it'll give us some good experience in owning vehicles like this and seeing what happens after 5 or 6 or 7 years with them. And I really think that it's probably a good move at this particular time to do this. But I would opt for the GT money.
Thank you, Jim. Frank, Nathan, Mike Hattery.
Dooley, your question was, what would they be used for? What was your question regarding the, I'm reading the vehicle use in one case is just to do restaurant inspections.
No.
The other one is home visits for the nursing staff.
What miles per gallon estimate they were using for the vehicle?
Oh, I beg your pardon.
As well as what price of fuel they were using for the computation.
Well, that's probably, you're going in the right direction. If Ed Marks is the only one carrying that in his hip pocket, we'll have to wait and ask him. But I wanted to remember last year, actually it was the early part of last year, and the end of the year before, I raised the question regarding emergency service work if someone is trapped in one of these vehicles. Mm-hmm. And there's a concern about how do you handle an accident for a fire department or whoever's trying to help somebody that's trapped in a vehicle. There was an article that I distributed to some of you and recently, and I met with Lee Shurtleff, who indicated that there is some training coming up that the county is participating in. And I don't know anything more about who's providing the training. Steve, maybe you've heard something about that, but I know that there's some hands-on training going to take place in order to help at least the county personnel understand what the process is, heaven forbid there's an accident. What I've been trying to get Lee to do is to reach out to the fire departments and the emergency services people to see if there's any sort of additional training that they can do. And Greg, I don't know, what is the city doing anything with regard to the fire department there?
It's a continual process. As the vehicles evolve, the technology for working on them in emergency situations evolves as well. I did speak to Lee about your memo, and he's gonna provide us an answer to that.
Thank you.
The answer is yes. There's continuing training. There's resources. For example, something I can think of that I could put my hands on is a book that basically lists models of vehicles and shows where the high voltage wires are running, and so you can actually access a manual in the field, for example, or use it for training. So the short answer is yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Frank, for your concern. I have Nathan, Mike Hattery, Carol Chalk.
What I wanted to say was said about 7 minutes ago.
Wonderful. Mike Hattery.
Dooley, I'm not sure how precise of an estimate you wanted on the fuel prices, but I asked this question in budget, and the Department of Health said they used the prevailing prevailing fuel price at the time the form was filled out.
The county price.
The county price.
County price.
$2.40 or so.
So, I mean, I don't know if you wanted the exact estimate or whether it was a prospective or retrospective price.
Thank you.
Thank you. Carol.
I just thought I'd take a stab. My assumption when I saw the differences in these figures with my former engineer in training hat on, although remember I didn't actually make it as an engineer, is that my understanding of how these vehicles work, the hybrids, is that when you are in a stop and go situation and going under, it's usually about 30 miles an hour, you are using gasoline, and when you are in a situation where you're doing longer highway kind of miles at over 30 miles an hour, that is when you kick into the generation of power.
It's the three of us that drive these.
Okay.
so that would account, the difference in use would...
It's the opposite.
So,
yeah.
All right. Carol, that's why the disclaimer in front.
Going backwards.
The difference in use would give you difference.
But the principle behind Green Fleet is fabulous. Are there any other questions on the resolution? Comments? Mike Sigler.
Well, I just have two things. Sorry, first off, for being late. First off, I wanted to say that if you look at actually the numbers, financially, this even makes sense, not just from a...
Even
just want to point that out. Well, it makes more sense on the one car than the other car, but I think the gas price is going up. I think it'll make sense in both cases. The only thing I did want to ask, though, American cars are actually becoming comparable to the Prius, and I wanted to see if there's consideration of anything other than the Prius, just because I know the Prius is the highest, but I'm wondering if there's any that may be slightly lower that are...
They've been looking at different models. The range I got this time was these two, and then there was a proposal for a hybrid Highlander, which I said I don't think the taxpayers of Tompkins County would appreciate spending $40,000 on a car to transport some people around. So I rejected that one. You didn't have to deal with that. They are looking at different models. It just happens to be that the Prius is the one that was on state contract right now that could produce the best result. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, as time goes by, we're going to see other cars be factored in. So.
Okay. Easy enough.
Thank you.
I think we ought to get one of these and sort of let the legislators test it for a while.
Frank, bring a resolution forward in that regard, and we'll move on it. I'll be the first.
We'll take your truck.
All right. Short roll call on this resolution.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Ms. McAsee?
Yes.
Anyone want to be credited as no?
Fabulous. Go Green, the inaugural.
It's the end of my report.
Human Resources, Jim Dennis.
Thank you. We had a meeting April 3rd. We talked about, we got a clarification discussion on disability workers comp 207C. We approved the minutes. We had a training calendar, and that concludes my report, except I'm going to ask for an executive session on labor contract issues.
Thank you.
Which is the president's.
Okay. Question on the report?
A question on, Jim, before you go to Resolution H, may I ask you a question about Resolution D?
Yeah.
Resolution D was in support of the Council of Governments review of the health benefits.
Right.
Even though it's already been passed, can you enlighten us a little bit on what, if any, part of this review will include the a piece pertaining to retirees?
This is not in the purview of the HR committee right now, and I think the better people to answer it are Nathan and Steve. I have been to one presentation that was given by the organization who did the program for us at the beginning for the unions, and I think the way it's going to roll out, Nate and Steve have the best information on that at this point, and I would defer to both of them.
And Frank, this is basically the presentation that Steve gave what last legislature meeting?
That's where we are on the review.
Right.
And it's in that
review. Retirees have been brought into the process. I believe they had their own meeting with our consultant on the on this project.
That's all I want to hear. Yeah. So they are part of the mix.
They are part of the mix, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Jim,
because you've got plans.
Let me just go back. And my sense is, from what I know of it and not being as intimately involved as those two people are, what we're really talking about is not a change in benefits at all. It's more about how many people are going to be involved in a group and with the towns and the county. And it'll be a long time before any benefit work will be done, I believe. And if I'm, okay. And I think I'm near correct in that.
Yes, you're correct. I mean, we're going to be offering basically the same plans that people can get right now. A lot of the savings in this project are going to come from reduction in administrative costs. Since it will be our own kind of health, our own health insurance company, and so we don't need the profits that health insurance companies need necessarily. And so as a result, there's a substantial savings in administrative costs.
Don't be too quick to rule out profits.
All right. Thank you for the quick answer. Yeah. Martha.
And if anybody wants another presentation on this, at the public library on the 28th, April 28th, 5:30 to 7:00, another presentation really meant for all municipal officials, anybody, the public, whoever, but especially for, because board members in the municipalities are going to be asked to vote on this at each board. And so this will be a special presentation to really fully answer their questions and all.
And the county legislators, too. I mean, this presentation will be a lot more detailed than what I presented and give you a very good understanding of what's going on. And we'll show you a few of the questions that we're going to have to deal with.
Date and time again, Martha?
Didn't
we just receive a
note? Yeah, going to say everybody should have gotten from Thomas County Council of Governments an invitation to it. So be there or send your bootlegger with the video camera.
Oh, here it is. Monday, April 28th, 5:30 to 7 p.m.
You got it, Frank.
Got it. Thank
Correct.
You. Thanks, Lisa.
Jim.
Finally, Frank, I think you're right to stay on top of this, but I have a lot of confidence in the work that Nathan and certainly Steve and the group has been doing throughout this whole process. And from the personnel point of view, I too will be very interested in see how that all works out.
You're talking about NYSEG?
Thank you. Government Operations, Mike Hattery.
You sure? We had a very long meeting last Friday. I'll just mention four items that will be before you before long. The committee approved forwarding two proposed changes in the Code of Ethics that the Ethics Advisory Board had recommended to the full legislature. One, you will again get to decide whether you want to change the filing date for annual financial disclosure forms. And second, there's some broadened language regarding the misuse of position. Current language in the Code of Ethics restricts violations pretty much to fiduciary kinds of issues, and this language broadens it to kind of misuse of position, which I think is valuable, and I'm glad that the Ethics Advisory Board, which Dooley, is that the right term, which Dooley's on, forwarded those proposed changes to us. Heard a updated presentation from the assessment department on the options between staying with triennial or reverting to annual reassessment. And we will be bringing forth, for the sake of administrative purposes, a resolution probably at the second meeting in May on that issue. And the other thing I'll mention is we had a presentation from Greg Potter and Suzanne Etherington, who's with the State Archives, about county email, and primarily the concern was used by legislators that we were talking about. And I think rather than go into that in a lot of detail, we've asked Greg and actually, the county clerk will be involved because of her role in records management and information to make a presentation to the legislature in May about this issue. I think for the sake of things like having our emails foiled, we will probably be looking at some proposals to change the way we do business in terms of our email as legislators. I said looking at proposals, not definitely changing. I'll stop there.
Any questions for Mike? Thank you, Mike. No? Moving on. PDEQ, Martha?
Thank you, Leslin. We had a meeting on just this past Thursday, and we had a pile of resolutions that I'm not going to talk about because you'll get them next time. Kathy's nodding. Yeah, she's learning about this. This committee has a lot of work. But a couple of things to mention. Get there. Hold on. The Fernando de Aragon came. I do have one resolution related to ITCTC. Was that on the? Yeah, I do have that. Came to the legislature. Came to the committee and talked about a recent conference that he went to, called "Incorporating Global Warming Concerns into Long Range." Plans for transportation planning, and he presented a document I could give anybody who wants a copy of it, just three pages, 2030 Long Range Transportation Plan for Climate Change and Energy Position Statement for the local ITCTC. Really looking at, it was interesting, he said that around the country, transportation planners are absolutely focused on issues of congestion and air quality, and those overlap pretty much 100% with issues that relate to global warming, climate change concerns. Nationally, a lot of the transportation planners felt that they couldn't approach their political environment and talk about global warming and say we have to do this or that because of global warming. But when they talked about congestion and air quality, then they got buy-in, got consensus on the, essentially the same kinds of proposals. So he was pleased to feel that he was in a community that was willing to talk about global warming, because he thought that was really what the issue was about. They'll be looking at their long-range plan coming up in, to pass a plan in the fall, a new update, and they're hoping that the federal money could be sort of, the real request to the feds is that transportation money could be made more flexible, so that highway money, right now the transportation bonds come in, you know, you got this bucket for highway money and a little bucket for sidewalks and a little bucket for trails. They're hoping that it can be made more flexible so that local communities can take more initiative and put money into multimodal transportation that would support other than single occupancy vehicle transportation. The planning department presented, and you'll all get one of these in your box if you haven't already, Indicators of Success, Winter 07. Every year they are looking at, and this, the data were collected in 2007. This is a report for Winter 07-08. Achieving the policies of the Tompkins County Comprehensive Plan. They presented this the first version last year, and it's a way of sort of looking at each part of our comprehensive plan, benchmarking with data that are standard and reliable and available in you know, in the public domain that they can then use. For example, miles of publicly accessible hiking trails, land development and household population growth, some very concrete measures of how we're doing with implementing our comprehensive plan. So you can look for that, and we'll be talking about that at our next meeting. Big topic of conversation, took up a lot of the meeting, was tourism grants. And you'll get all those next month, next in 2 weeks. And that will help you to understand what I'm about to say, which is that I actually raised this last meeting about a proposal to revise the legislature's review of all these tourism grants that we now look at, every single one. And we talked again about that at this last meeting. We basically gave the nod to a proposal that is going to be worked into a formal resolution process. They're going to look at the written policy in the county policy book, bring that to our committee, to PDQ, and then through GO, and then bring it to the to the full legislature, so that we really are spending our time wisely and not duplicating the efforts of folks on the Strategic Tourism Planning Board, who review these very carefully. Ed Marks reported on Route 96 corridor plan, which is getting underway, and I want to just mention that April 23rd, this coming Monday, there's a public meeting on the plan to hold the Route 96 transportation planning in general. It will be held at PRI at 6:30 p.m.
April 23rd is Wednesday. Monday,
well, then I didn't mean Monday.
Is that a Monday?
I was thinking it was Monday. Okay, April 23rd. The Monday part. 6:30 at PRI, if anybody's interested. We talked also about briefly about the Cornell initiative on transportation, and I believe that draft list of projects is coming to F&I on Thursday. So Ed talked about it a little sort of in general at PDEQ last week. And finally, he said, just one other item is that he had opportunity to meet with the new regional director of the Finger Lakes State Parks about a week or so ago. We know that person, and he didn't even have his flip-flops on, apparently. But so Tim Joseph said that they have been looking at a waterfront trail kind of idea about really analyzing open space and public access space on the lake, Finger Lakes, and Seneca and Cayuga Lakes are the two where there really still are some opportunities to develop sort of public campsites and public docking areas along the lake, around the lake shore, so that that people can really see a water trail along these two lakes. So, and Tim is very interested in that initiative, and looks like some good stuff could happen. So, that's a long enough report. And I didn't even have people just didn't even have most of the business there. But I do have one resolution for tonight. Resolution I, affirming Ithaca Tompkins.
Martha, before you go on, are there any questions in Martha's report?
I was hoping not.
It was very thorough, so there may not be any. See? There.
Thank you.
Resolution.
Resolution I, affirming Ithaca Tompkins County Transportation Council recommendation to increase the ITCTC staff director's salary.
Second by Pam. Discussion? Sharp roll call.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Ms. McAsey?
Yes. Anyone want to record it as no? Okay.
Thank you.
Passes. Thank you, Martha. Can we get the minutes of the previous meeting? We are going to be going into executive session minutes. Yes, please move them. Moved by Frank. Seconded by Martha. We don't have any finished business. Can I have a motion to adjourn to executive session for the purposes of negotiation?
Madam Chair, will it be the next meeting, perhaps, that we may hear, I hate to put you on the spot all the time, an update on the status of 55 Brown Road, where that's...
Oh, no, that's closing. Closing on the 22nd.
It's closing on the 22nd.
Right.
Anything else going on?
As far as going ahead with the project, you mean?
Yeah.
There's just, I guess Arel could probably give an update.
Could I ask that now?
We're currently negotiating the terms of agreement with Labella. So we've gone over the scope of services and the submitted fees. I've reviewed that and asked for additional information. So I hope to get that later this week, and then we'll submit the agreement. It'll be an AIA document. Planning to move forward.
Was the closing document that the paperwork for the closing document, was it essentially what we had discussed here, or have there been changes to the terms of the agreement?
Delay in the closing was the waiting for an abstract. It wasn't the agreement.
Well, so the abstract, I assume, is clean.
We got the abstract. We're also updating the survey. But those are the things that resulted in the time for the closing. It wasn't the agreement.
Thank you. Thank you, Arel. The other item, Madam Chair, is that before we meet again around this table publicly, a particular event will take place, and I know some of you that are sporting enthusiasts will know that the first Saturday in May begins a particular season, and I know you'll all be sitting on the edge of your chairs because the subsequent Saturdays, Dooley and I will be there. Sure.
Frank, that was a privilege of the floor. You missed your opportunity.
I said it anyway.
And I ain't a dollar short.
Not really. But
Jim.
Is there some way in next month's meeting that the Brown Road facility can be reported on a regular basis? I don't know if it would be under facilities, maybe under facilities. Clearly, Ed is the chair of that committee. Dooley and I both attend, and somebody should take responsibility. If it's one of us, that's fine. We would do that. But
that would be a very specific request. Thank you, Jim, for us to get a report out on Brown Road at our next meeting.
Need be. Just so people don't think we've totally forgotten about it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other business? Don't ask me after the point, Frank. Just giving you an opportunity now. All right. May I have a motion to move into executive session for the purposes of negotiation, litigation, and personnel matters. Moved by Mike Hattery, seconded by Carol Chalk. We do intend to come out and resume for perhaps a vote on our negotiation issue. So let's take a quick break, shut down the cameras, and we'll be back in here.